to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program as we launch into a brand new week of adventure here in Brevard County. Happy Memorial Day weekend to you. Pray that you are going to have some wonderful downtime, get to recharge your batteries as we have our official launch into the summer season here. Even though it's not summer until June, Memorial Day is kind of one of those official launches. So if you are looking at your calendar and saying, you know, I'd like to do this in my backyard or I'd like to do that, and it involves concrete, I want to recommend to you the folks at Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. I had them out to my house here a few weeks ago. And, you know, they were coming as they were returning from a job that they had down beachside. And I have one concrete issue that's kind of aesthetic. Another that I'm looking at that is kind of functional, that would be an improvement on one of our areas there, would kind of take a sloped region and make it level. And so they came out. They came out with lasers. They, I mean, really looked at it, talked about the different plans that they might be able to implement. The reason I'm telling you all that is because if you've got a project, no matter how complicated, they're going to be able to look at it, figure out how to go about it, and they're going to do a great job. So, you know, I talk about the three E's. They've got decades of experience. They've got great expertise. And they have a tremendous work ethic. So, Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. If you are looking at doing a concrete job this summer, give them a call. See if they can't get you into their schedule. And their schedule comes and goes. Sometimes they don't have anything going on. Sometimes they've got multiple things going on. Give them a call in advance so that they can get you on the calendar, get your project started and your project finished and off to a great start. So, so we're going to launch into a study today. And this one is the primary reason why we are still here. And that's because God is in the redemption business. I've titled this section, You Shall Be Saved. And the mission is salvation. The mission is salvation. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 1. And we're going to be looking at various things that God has done to implement the plan of salvation. I want you to know that the Bible says that Jesus was the lamb that was slain from before the foundation of the world. So before there was ever a sin committed, Jesus was already committed to going to the cross so that you and I could be saved, so that our sins could be wiped away. And, There's always been a plan. God always has a plan. And so whatever you're facing today, don't try and figure the plan out yourself. Go to God and say, God, what's your plan? What's your plan? Because his plan is always going to be the best plan. It's going to be victorious. And the devil is going to be powerless to be able to stop that plan. So let's go to Matthew chapter 1. You would normally hear messages from like from this passage at Christmas time, but we're gonna look at how intent God is on bringing about salvation. In Matthew chapter 1, verse number 18, it says this: Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So we start off here in verse number 18 with Mary and Joseph. Even though they were engaged, they were committed to be married, that Mary has said yes to the Lord's plan, that she had been chosen to be the mother of Jesus, and that created quite a difficult moment for Joseph, and he decided that he was going to deal with this situation in a very private manner. He wasn't looking to publicly shame Mary or anything like that. And so he began to put a plan together. The Bible says that Joseph was a just man. That he was a just man. That meant he was righteous. The lexicon describes it as him being a just man. That he lived according to the law and how it applied to a specific situation. So he not only knew what the law was, he was living according to that, and he was applying the law to the circumstances that he faced in his situation. So you and I, it's great if we know the word. It's even better when we apply it to the situations that we face in our life. It said he didn't want to make her a public example, but was minded to put her away secretly. And so that was the plan that Joseph had decided that he was going to implement it. And while he is still thinking about these things, okay, I would highly encourage you to make sure that the decisions that you make are not based upon feelings, but they are based upon thinking, and not just thinking from a carnal perspective, thinking from a mind that has been renewed in the image of Christ. We need to think with a redemptive mind. And I can tell you that as I'm sharing this, that if you think that preachers do not struggle with this, you would be greatly mistaken. I know people who do not make decisions based upon the way that they think. They make their decisions based upon the way that they feel. I know people who have made purchases not based upon whether it was thus says the Lord. They based it upon a desire that they had, only to find out at a later time that desire had come with an extremely high price tag. And so we have got to act. We have got to treat other people. And we have to think not from the aspect of what we are feeling, but instead, what is a transformed mind? How does a person who's been transformed by the renewing of their mind, how does that mind think about this situation? And while he is in the thinking process, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Now, I don't know what your mind is like when you go to bed at night. My mind thinks that as soon as I put my head on the pillow, that all of a sudden that is the time not for it to shut down for the night. That's the time that it goes into hyperdrive. It becomes turbocharged. All of a sudden, everything that, you know, I've been dealing with throughout the day, that's the time that my mind kicks into gear, and it makes sleep very, very challenging. I describe it as, okay, let the wrestling match begin, because then I've got to get into a comfortable position, and I've got to get to the place where my mind is responding to my spirit instead of my flesh responding to my mind. So Joseph goes to sleep, and all of these thoughts that he's put into place are running through his mind, and God sends an angel to speak to him while he's sleeping. So I preached a message one time, and the title of that message was that dream, was that from God or was it the pizza? There are some dreams that are definitely God dreams, and then there are other dreams that they're just chemical reactions going on in our brain, and it takes a person sensitive to the Lord to be able to process which of those is the case when it comes to a dream. I will tell you this: the Bible says he who chases fantasies lacks judgment. And so if you've got a pizza-inspired dream or you've got a carnally-inspired dream going on, you don't want to chase that. You want to only pursue the dreams that come from God. So here Joseph is thinking about how he's going to resolve this issue with Mary when an angel says to him, "Joseph, son of David." All of a sudden, Joseph is reminded of his heritage. When I hear son of David, I don't think Joseph's earthly father. I think of God reminding Joseph, hey, you are a descendant of King David who sat upon the throne, and God promised him that he would always have somebody to sit upon the throne. I want you to understand that it may be a long time since you thought of who you were, but God has never forgotten the lineage that you have come from and the promises that he made to your forefathers. Don't forget. Don't forget. And so he says, "Do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife." You can be in relationship with God. You can be faced with certain challenges, certain obstacles, and that doesn't mean that you will never experience fear. Fear is not something that has to control you. It also doesn't mean that you will never experience that. You can be in a situation that will cause you some concern, but if you're there on God's assignment, on God's mission, then that fear is not meant to paralyze you. You are meant to press through that fear and go ahead and pursue the plan and the purpose of God. The angel goes on and says, look, Mary's not been lying to you. The thing that is taking place inside of her, the thing that is getting ready to take place here in the very near future, she's going to have a son. This is not immorality driven. This was something that the Holy Spirit has brought about, not through carnal means, through spiritual means. This is the plan and the purpose of God that is taking place, and Mary is not a person of ill repute. Her character is not flawed. She was chosen because of her love for God, because she is a woman that God could use to bring about a glorious purpose. So she will bring forth a son, and I want you to focus on this. You shall call his name Jesus. You shall call his name Jesus. The reason that I say that that is very important, if you go over to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, you will find the visit from the angel that Mary had prior to the visit that Joseph had had. Verse number 26 says this, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, listen to this, and call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. I was reading a news story. I read all sorts of stories. I read about a baseball player who's now retired, but when he was raising his family, he was, you know, pretty good at striking people out. And a signal for a strikeout in baseball is a K. And so he named all of his kids with names that began with K. All of our kids happen to have their names begin with the same letter. My wife's family, all of her siblings, their names begin with the same letter. People have different standards of what they are looking for when they are giving a name to someone. And we always wanted to do our kids a favor and not, you know, Johnny Cash them, who made a song famous because he was a boy named Sue. And, you know, he eventually has an encounter with his dad who says, look, in this world, you got to be tough. And we knew that that you were going to have a really difficult time with that, and I named you that to make sure that you were tough enough to survive in this world. You know, all sorts of different reasons. Some people come up with names that are just highly unusual, eclectic. They name them. There are a lot of people who name their kids after people in the Bible. All sorts of different reasons. Mary and Joseph were commanded by the angel to name their son Jesus. Jesus comes from a word that means the God who saves. you shall call him Jesus, the God who saves. And I will point out that it was a command that was given to Joseph after it was a command that was given to Mary. Whenever there is a prophecy or a directive from God that comes that involves two different people, I want you to understand that God will work on both people's hearts at the same time, so that when they sit down to discuss it, they'll say, that's exactly what God has told me. I was doing some studying here a few weeks ago, and it was about prophets and the gift of prophecy. And in this study that I was doing, it said people are never instructed to go shopping for a prophecy. They're not supposed to be going on a hunt for a prophecy. God knows where you are. God knows what he wants to do in the situation, and God knows what to speak to you in that situation. And so I was really excited about that, because there are some trends that tend to pop up from time to time that are a little disconcerting to me, where people go shopping, you know, for a word, if I can put it that way, and say, what prophetic word do you have from God? Now, I'm not saying that God can't do that, but if you want a word from God, can I encourage you to do this? Get into the presence of God and say this: God, speak, for your servant is listening. God's got plenty to say if we will take time to listen. In John chapter 1, verse number 29, we see that John the Baptist, when he sees Jesus, he says, this is the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. Later on in Matthew here, we are pointed out in verse number 23, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Part of the salvation process is not just the deliverance from, but the relationship with that results from salvation. Our relationship with God, the fact that he is with us and will never leave us and never forsake us, part of that is very, very important to the salvation experience. You and I, we are saved. It says here in verse number 21, he will save his people from their sins. He will save his people from their sins. Realize that the goal of sin is to kill you and to kill your relationship with God. The goal of sin is to kill your relationships with other people. It's designed to destroy your health. I feel sorry for young people who I see making some very, very bad decisions morally. Some very confused decisions that are damaging them in such a way that their future is going to be horrifically impacted because of the sin style that they live in the here and now. Whenever somebody wants to start a habit, I want to take them and show them what the end of that journey looks like. Maybe you're into drugs. I could take you to a couple of gravesides of people that I was related to, and I could show you what that lifestyle looks like. It's not a lifestyle, it's a death style. I could show you what a lifestyle of addiction to cigarettes looks like. It's not pretty. I can take you to what a lifestyle of immorality looks like. It's not pretty. There's a whole lot. You see, the devil wants to give you a snapshot of your present, and won't your life be so wonderful now? only to not tell you that there is a spiritual bill that is coming due later on in life. God wants to do life with you, not only to save you from your past sins, but so that he can walk with you in your current situation so that you do not get snared in the trap of sin anymore. And so Jesus, Emmanuel, the God who saves us, the God who is with us, those are the instructions that Joseph receives in his dream. And so in verse number 24, a man who went to bed troubled, a man who went to bed afraid, a man who went to bed confused, woke up with divine wisdom and counsel. And it said, and being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. I was having a conversation with a friend of mine here a few weeks ago, and he made this statement. He said, I know who I am in Christ to a great deal of extent. He said, but one thing I know is I know I'm not of the sons of Issachar. The sons of Issachar were people who showed up during the time of, I believe it was David, and it said they understood the times and what Israel was to do. And this friend of mine said, I don't understand the times that I'm living in. I want you to know that when you don't understand, God still does understand. He gives us peace that passes understanding. We live in very precarious times spiritually. There is a lot of sin that is running rampant. There is sin outside the church. Unfortunately, there's too much sin in the church. Too much winking and nodding and pretending that it's not a big deal. And I want you to know, Jesus didn't come to minimize our sin. Jesus is the Lamb of God that came to take away our sin because he knows how dangerous it is. Please take your spiritual life seriously. Ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins and take it away so that it is no longer a threat to you. It's a testimony that you can share with others so that they can be saved from their sins as well. God bless you. You have a great Monday. We'll see you back here tomorrow on the Refresh Radio
Program. Thank
you for
tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Weakness overcomes. You are, yes, you are.